Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of the Holy Scriptures. And for this hour, my privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. I continue to draw upon the 27th Psalm, at the end of which I will share conversation with a very new and very dear friend and increasingly esteemed colleague in ministry, Pastor Sa Elijah Tongino. But Pastor Sa and I share on the other end of the 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my helper. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. May your heart have courage and wait for the Lord. At the very core of this text of Scripture, as it was at the very core of who King David was, there was a desire for David to know at the most intimate level, honest and constructive, loving and glorious rapport with Almighty God. And as it was the desire of his heart, he would communicate through this text that we would do well for it to be the desire of our hearts as well. And David knew well the difference, because whenever David stumbled with sinful proclivity and fell into a sin-infested pitfall, he would pay a heavy price, and he would grieve and mourn and endure genuine godly contrition, and he would cry out to God. And in this instance, being in a position or a condition in which he's being assailed from every side, his heart cries out to God, "You have said, seek my face. O Lord, my heart says to you, your face do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my helper." It was David's understanding of his trust in the Lord, as it is my understanding as a Christian, that is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that my Christian faith is not simply an expression, whether of theological inquiry or of spiritual wistfulness, but it is an expression of a settled, eternally verifiable, and lifelong grounded conviction that God is, that the God who is the God who loves me, who has come to me through Christ himself, and who will never leave me nor forsake me. Not even, please, when I wander from him, not even when I ignore or neglect or otherwise reject his holy word of truth, not even when I grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. All of these potential pitfalls are very real in the life of each and every sinner, and yes, in the life of each and every saved or sanctified sinner, which is what the Christian is. But we also know, praise God, and this was at the core of David's cry, when he cries out to God, "Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, hide not your face from me. O you who have been my help." He knew down deep, notwithstanding the travails that beset him, that God never leaves nor forsakes us, that God, Almighty God, is always and ever graciously disposed towards us, that he always honors his servants and his people, and he is always readily disposed and readily positioned to help us in our time of need. O God, you who have been my help. This is an extraordinary acknowledgement of one's relationship with Almighty God. It's a rather extraordinary statement concerning who God himself is. We know from the scripture, please, that God is our refuge and strength. The psalmist tells us this in the 46th Psalm, and it's been made famous and given renown by way of the great hymn by the Protestant reformer Martin Luther. God is our refuge and strength. He is our rock and our fortress. He is our deliverer, our hope and our peace, our joy and our life. One is wont to think of what Christ said of himself in the Gospel of John. Jesus at set intervals reveals to us who he is from his own sense of self-identity. And he says in the Gospel of John that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Later on, as he brought Lazarus back from death to life, he declared, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asks the seeker after him as he posed the same question to the dear sister of Lazarus, whether it was Martha or Mary. I beg your pardon, I can never recall to which he posed that query, but do you believe this? It is of the utmost significance if you do. We know from the scripture as well that God is our lover. He is not afraid to or intimidated by the marital motif or even the use of sexual imagery to define the nature of intimacy betwixt ourselves and himself. We are the bride of Christ. He is our Father. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he taught us that we were to address God as Father. And this is the great travesty, if you will, the great tragedy of our Jewish brethren of an earlier era, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and with deep and pervasive poignancy in his heart, he says, but you could have called me Father. And you know, I first learned this, not conceptually, but I began to understand this more viscerally and experientially during the calendar year 2019, a year during which I underwent profound cardiac surgery, indeed the next step down from a transplant. And throughout the year leading up to that surgery, and for the remainder of the year on its other end, I experienced the likes of which I was a little child, and I found myself in the arms of my loving and heavenly Father. And he carried me, literally carried me, throughout the course of the year 2019. I never left his arms, and he met my every need according to the riches that are found in grace, the grace and good keeping of Jesus Christ. In short, God is our everything. Praise the Lord. He is our everything. I remember my little granddaughter, who was always a good kid, but in one instance, we had to discipline her, so we had her move from the dining room into the living room. There was no door to be closed. She was never more than 5 feet removed from us. But because she was on the other side of the door frame, within 30 seconds, she broke down in tears and begged to have us receive her back, which of course we did. We loved her dearly. We were her everything. Between the hours that Mommy went to work and came home, Mom and Pop-Up were her everything. We were her helper. And to this day, I will hear her little voice say to me, "Pop-Up, I need some help." Well, Heavenly Father, we need your help. And we thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will never cast us off, because you, O God, who are our salvation, you are our helper. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I now am joined by Pastor Sah Elijah Tongino of the House of Prayer in Acts Ministries. Pastor Sah has come amongst us in recent months at First Baptist Church. He has begun an afternoon service on a weekly basis within our church precincts. We have become good friends and colleagues in ministry. Pastor Sah, I'm so pleased that you would return to the broadcast. God bless you.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. I'm very happy. I'm very, very glad that I'm here again.
Well, this is the second of what I trust will prove to be a whole series of visits, Pastor Sah. I cannot tell you, nor can I communicate with the audience clearly enough, what a great blessing you have been. You have been a man, literally, I believe, directed from God into our midst. I do not believe in coincidences. I believe in what I call providential orchestrations, and I believe that he has providentially brought us together, and it is a source of mutual joy. Pastor Sah, during my devotion, I made reference to the calendar year 2019, during which my Heavenly Father, yours as well, I might add, carried me as a child in his arms through a very traumatic and difficult year. And I was on the receiving end throughout the year 2019. I was on the receiving end, literally, and I mean literally, of the miraculous at every turn. And I know that you, sir, hailing from Africa, that during your day in Africa, and no doubt your day here, but I know that during your day in Africa, the miraculous was not an uncommon phenomenon, that God remains, as he always was, a God of miracles. And so I'd love for you to share, sir, some of what you experienced with Almighty God working in ways that would defy human reasoning, but that would in no way minimize, that would always enhance our experience in Christ. Would you share with us, please?
Oh, yes, sir. I am very, very glad to be here again with you and Frank. I have experienced a whole lot with the Lord personally and also during the course of my ministry. When I first came to the Lord, I knew that the Lord was a miracle-working God, that he does signs and wonders in the midst of those that believe him. And when we started work in Africa, especially in Guinea, the atmosphere and the environment itself, as I always say, was very tense. What I mean is that the entire place was a kind of place that was controlled by of the forces of darkness. So we started work, and God started manifesting his love, and he started doing his signs and wonders among us. We had Muslims that would come with their problems. I remember a case of a Lebanese man, and they took him to many, many places for healing. And they heard about us, so we would just pray. And then they brought this man, and he could not walk, he could not even talk well. And we took him where we were worshiping, because we had the place where we were worshiping was the same place where we were sleeping. And so, because we couldn't get a bigger place, because nobody could take us in as Christians. And Pastor, as you will have, as you have already said, God is a miracle working God. We prayed for that man, and God touched him. He got up and he started talking, and the Lebanese people were amazed. The thing that happened is that they saw the miracle, and we actually handed back the guy to them because he became strong and well. But they didn't give their lives. They were afraid. They didn't surrender to the Lord, but we said it was a testimony to the Lord. And they took him back. They gave us a lot of money. We told them, no, we are not taking money from them. We said, the Bible says, freely you receive, freely you should give. And we have miracles of people that were possessed with demons. I saw that firsthand. We just command those demons as Jesus did, and they would just disappear. I remember one time somebody had a short hand, and one hand was longer than the other hand. And right during the service, because we had a miracle service, I told them that, well, we are going to see a miracle. I called people to come and see with their own eyes, those who were sitting in front and those who were around. And I told them, the guy stretched his hand, and one hand was shorter than the other hand. And my dear pastor, I began to command the short hand to grow. And you could see the hand growing, until it came to the exact level of the other hand. God is wonderful. And there are miracles that we could not even record at that time. Miracles like healing, you know, the body being sick, some of the people, they bring them from the hospital, we pray for them, and they get well, they go back, marriages restored, and miracles of financial provision. All these, Pastor, I have seen. I have seen the faithfulness of the Lord in every area. The word of God is true. When he says that if we believe, nothing shall be impossible to us, it is true. All we need to do is to believe, Pastor. But I've seen it all.
And you know, Pastor, if I may, I had an experience once many years ago. I'm going back perhaps about 20 years ago. Very dear lady I knew. She was a receptionist at a local retirement facility. I went in there for 17 years conducting a Bible class for the residents. And the lady and I became good friends. And one day she said to ask me to pray for her because her back was so bad that she was fearful that she would need to go to hospital. And her husband was not a well man, so this would not be a good situation. So she asked me to pray for her. And I was deeply honored, and I was very pleased to do so. So I took her hand, and we prayed together. And then I, for reasons germane to my schedule, I didn't see her for a couple of weeks. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, sir. I was younger in my faith, perhaps less experienced. And I was a bit reluctant to see her because I, in all candor, I didn't really believe that my prayer was going to have any effect. I'm being transparent, and I had to come under conviction of and confess that sin. I did see her, and so I asked her. Now, this is some 3 weeks later, and I asked her, how is your back, Ben? And her exact words to me were, in a very matter-of-fact way, she says, oh, Brad, I've been fine ever since you prayed for me. And mm-hmm. I was astounded. And I guess I shouldn't have been. And thankfully, it was a lesson learned. But that my prayer was uttered in faith, but I walked away without faith. And the Lord had to rebuke me of that. And thank God the lady was able to profit. But Pastor Saar, we have more to share on the other end of the commercial divide. Pastor Saar Tongino and Brad Lacey, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Saar Elijah Tongino. Pastor Saar serving as pastor of the House of Prayer in Acts. And it is a joy to have my dear friend with me behind these microphones. Pastor Saar, having been sharing, as you and I have, concerning the miraculous, I think that you and I are living now in a day and age in which the miraculous would be helpful given current conditions. And I don't wish to pin God down. God may very well choose to work through the exercise of the mundane. He may choose to work through sheer acts and lives of discipline and of blind faith even. But he may choose, as his glory would require, to operate in a miraculous way. What I want to ask of you is that you come from Africa. You have a fresh perspective on the church here in the West. What do you think are the most important realities right now? I mean, what does the church really need to focus upon and gear in upon if we're to be faithful and true to our Christian witness?
Pastor, thank you very much. I believe that the church here needs to exercise faith in God, as the Lord Jesus Christ said it in Mark chapter 11, and in verse 22, he said, "And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God." The church here needs to have faith in God. And the church will see signs and wonders and miracles happening. We read in Africa that the Lord did a lot of miraculous acts here in America, and in Europe, and in many places where God was worshipped. But when I came here, I realized that maybe that was history. But now the church has more opportunity. I tell you, Pastor, if the church will have faith here, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, a lot of things will still happen. So faith is what I think and I believe that the church you have.
Well, and if I may build upon that, Pastor, my experience over the years has been that for many people, an understanding of Christian faith is such that Christ died for me and for my sins. I stand forgiven and I am saved of my sin. And that is all very true and all very laudable to believe. But it's simply the commencement of a life of faith. Faith is not simply banking on Christ's death, and therefore, when I die, I'll go to heaven. But faith also entails understanding that having saved us, God also wants us to use us in service. And to be used in service of Him, we have to bank on and believe that He is working both in us and through us. What is your experience, sir, if you will, of the average or rank and file congregation? How do we measure up on the scale here? Do we understand fully how God would use us, or is there still something significant that we need to learn?
Yes. We still need to learn something very significant. One is that faith manifests in three ways. One, you having faith as a person. Two, the seeker having faith, the one that is seeking God's blessing. Let's say you, Pastor, and you are the one that is administering maybe healing, or maybe you are praying for a problem, like you said, Now, you have faith, and the person you are praying for may have faith. And sometimes, as we see in the Bible, Jesus himself had faith and helped the people, meaning he used his faith to help other people. What we need to really do in these days is that the seekers, as well as those ministering the prayer, must have faith. Because if I come to pray for you, Pastor, and you don't have faith, I need to believe that my faith is able to help you to get out of the problem that you are having. And if you come to me, like the man came to you, and you said you prayed for him, you went without believing that anything happened. But he went, I believe he believed that your prayers worked and God answered your prayers. And later when you saw him, you realized that God blessed him after you prayed. So we need to understand that faith is just believing that what we are saying, God will honor it because we are saying it in his name and in his will. And God will do it. Faith doesn't come by feeling. We may not feel it. We just believe it, that it is done because God says we should do it and we have done it and therefore it is done. As simple as that. And Mark 11:24 says that if whatsoever we desire when we pray, we should believe that we receive it and we shall have it. So the church is supposed to start believing that, you know what, we have already said it, and we have done what we are supposed to do. God is going to honor his word. God is going to do what he says he will do. And it will just happen like that. And you don't need a degree. You don't need any seminary training. You don't need to be even working in the church. You don't need to be a pastor. Now, anyone can exercise this faith. Anyone. Well,
sometimes, if I may, sometimes these things actually can get in the way because we begin to focus upon our education or our talents and gifts rather than upon the one who gave the talents and the gifts. You know, I think, and I often am now, I refer to it routinely because it was such a watershed experience for me, but 2 years ago when I traveled to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, I had to put my life, literally, into the hands of a man by the name of Dr. Hartzell V. Schaff. He was going to cut into my body and literally, like a butcher, shave off a portion of my heart muscle. For me to undergo that course of surgical treatment, I had to really believe that this man could get the job done. At a deeper level, I had to believe that God had given this man the giftedness to accomplish it. And so I take that lesson and I apply it to myself to believe on Almighty God and the truth of his word. I have to believe not only that God has saved me through Christ, but that now in the name of Christ, he has equipped me to be used of him. So that I'm now acting on faith, both as a Christian going about my life and as a pastor going about service to my God. And if I don't have that depth of faith or that measure of faith, how can I ask it of my congregation? How can I present it to this audience, this listening congregation, if you will, as the course that they would do well to take up for their own lives? You and I understand how real the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It is a power unto itself. You and I know this, but we must communicate it faithfully and fruitfully, responsibly even, to others. And I know, sir, that you do.
Yes, yes, that is true. And education is not a condition here or a requirement here. Jesus frankly said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. this is the fundamental thing. We just need to believe, like you said, that God has said it, and I am saying it, and it is going to happen. And it will happen. When we were doing these things in Africa, Pastor, we didn't have a Bible college education. We didn't have any other type of training. We just believed that what is written in the Bible is good for even today. The Word of God doesn't have any time limit on it. Yes, if we can faithfully communicate it to others and tell them, and we also act on what we are telling them, we believe that what we are saying to them, what we are teaching them, is what we ourselves are practicing. Things will change, Pastor, and we will see miracles happening, signs and wonders happening, and people being helped. The church is here today in order to help the people that are in the world, in order to help other people that are having problems, and also to help those that are in the church.
Well, like doesn't Jesus say of us that we are the light of the world?
Exactly.
And we are signposts, is another way I like to put it. But yes, the faith must be real and authentic within us.
That's true.
Brad Lacey and Pastor Sa Tongino, we will return for one more round on the other end of the break. Thank you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Sa Elijah Tongino, we return with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Pastor, as we've been discussing the nature and power of faith, a God-given faith, we might add, there are two thoughts that come to me. The first is that the Bible is very explicit. Without faith, without this God-given faith, we cannot in any meaningful way please God. And if we cannot please Him, we cannot be used of Him. Or if we are used of Him, it will be in terms that are completely disconnected from our own capacity or ability to profit by it. On the other hand, I think also of what Jesus taught us in the Gospels, that if you have faith, you can move mountains. Whatever the mountain is that obstructs us, or that looms larger than we can handle in our lives, with faith, that mountain can be moved, not per se in a caricatured sense, that we can lift it up physically and move it, but that God will give to us the wisdom and the fortitude to either work our way through the issue or around it or however it works out, but that mountain will be moved to the glory of God. And I know, sir, having had to travel from Africa, having ministered within terrain over there that was not gospel saturated, you well understand this. And I hear it in your voice and in your messages when I listen to you on Sunday afternoons. Would you be so kind, sir? I would be remiss if I did not extend an invitation to you for a few moments to share a word that would speak to the hearts and minds of those who are listening to us right now. They're going to be blessed. So please, sir, you have the floor.
Certainly. 2 Corinthians and verse chapter 4, verse 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." I want to encourage our listeners that the same spirit that the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, the same spirit of faith that they had is the same spirit of faith that we are having today in our generation. And the Bible says they believe and they spoke. We therefore should believe and speak. It is the same spirit. The things that God did through them, God can still do through us today, my brethren. It is true that without faith, it is impossible to please our God. Because anyone that comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Our God is willing, He is ready, and He's waiting to reward those that are seeking after Him. But we need to believe it. That spirit is already in you. All we need to do is to stir that spirit up. The Bible tells us that we are not working. We are not looking. It's why we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We are walking by faith. We are not walking by sight. And if we have to look, let's look at the things that we do not see, the things that only faith can see. And our lives will change. It is very, very true that faith doesn't come by feeling. There are times that you will speak and you don't feel anything. But believe that what you have spoken, especially when you speak in the name of the Lord and according to the will of God, that it will come to pass, that it will happen. Let's have faith in God. The Spirit is already given to us. Let us go out and do exploit for God. Let's preach the gospel. Let's pray for people that are sick. Let us pray for those that have problems, and the Lord will see us through. The Lord will honor our word. One word before I leave, I want to leave you with this. And it is in Isaiah 44, verse 26. It said, "The Lord that confirms the word of his servant and perform the counsel of his messengers." You say it and God will confirm. You just alter it and the Lord will perform it. This inheritance the Lord has given us, and the Lord will be with you. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be here this evening.
Well, it is my privilege, and we share the blessing, Pastor. You know, as we speak of sharing the same faith, on the one hand, I recall what the Apostle Paul prayed for in the beginning of his letter to the Ephesian church. He said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened." Now, this is, if you will, another way of speaking of one's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith being one's inner perceptions and convictions, the things that motivate us, the heart, if you will. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, that you may know his glorious inheritance of the riches contained in the saints, and that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe." That power being comparable to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ when the Spirit of God brought him from death to life. God wants us to know what it is we have. God wants us to know what it is we have in him, in one another as fellow believers, and in what is at our disposal, if you will, what is at service to us as we conduct our lives. And I think if you were to take it to its logical extreme, for me, I've was raised up in an environment, every year someone in my large Welsh family would go down long and hard with some horrible cardiac illness. So I grew up surrounded literally and immersed in a culture of death, literally. We even lived physically surrounded by four cemeteries. And since I've been down here, within a short span of time, I lost my best friend suddenly. I lost my mother suddenly. I lost a man in Wales who was like a brother to me, all within a relative time frame. And I nearly lost my wife. She was some 15 minutes removed from death. But I learned something through all of that travail. I learned this, that if I was a man of faith, then I understand that as dearly as I love my beautiful mother or my best friend, that Jesus Christ loves them even more, and that in his love for them, he can care for them better than can I. And so rather than looking to be selfish in my love, I came to understand that I couldn't possibly begrudge them the company of Jesus or Jesus of their company. That's where faith took me. The ultimate enemy, the ultimate mountain that besets us. And faith has allowed me to cut through that mountain and see through it and see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Pastor Sa Tongino and Brad Lacey, it has been our privilege with the great message. God bless you.
Thank you.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.